Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 53, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, the quiet waters by. 53 stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 39 through verse 53. But first, we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 22, beginning with verse 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in anger and in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who in thy wise providence hast spoken, thou who art the King of the entire universe, and of whom in a special way we can read in thy holy word, that thy servant did write where the word of a king is, there is power. And so thou dost say to this one, Go, and to another, Come. And thou dost say in the midst of this world, as thou hast spoken it into its existence, thou dost speak and it ceases from all the bustle and all the activity, which is taking place in the midst of this world, so that each one must flee unto his own place. Oh, that we may be given truly to acknowledge thee in all thy ways. For thou alone art King, and thou alone dost speak, and it is so, and dost command, and it stands fast. And we can read in thy word, blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. And but thou knowest what we do as nations, and when we hear it so often, that we will overcome this, we will come through this, we will conquer this. And then man, he stands up in his resistance against all thy judgments. O Lord, judge us not according to our many sins. O give to us understanding hearts as nations in the midst of this world, that we might feel and know from whom that this does proceed. For we look for this cause and we look for that cause. We ask, where did it begin, here or there? But we look not to the maker thereof. Oh, we look not unto the first cause. Oh, we beseech thee then, Lord, that thou would give us understanding, and all our rulers, oh, that they may call, even as that king of old, all their nations to bow and to acknowledge thee and all thy judgments, that we may call yet for a fasting, that we may call for a true repentance, a true turning, and that all people and all the beasts of the field would let their voice be heard on high, that we may cry unto God, that he may yet have mercy upon us, and that we may turn everyone from his sinful way. O Lord, give us to understand, and give that it may not be only that we would increase our sin in the rejection of all thy callings, that we would blind our own eyes, that we would not see, that we would not turn, and that thou wouldst judge us. Oh, that thou may remember us in thy mercy. We can read in thy holy word of an Ornan with his four sons, who were hiding from that angel, who was standing with his sword drawn. And then there was so much fear, and thy servant did see him standing between the earth and the heaven with a drawn sword over Jerusalem. O Lord, 70,000, they had already been slain by the pestilence, and now it has arrived at Jerusalem. O Lord, remember us also, because it also has gone over the face of this whole world. And how many thousands of lives has it not also taken in the midst of this world? And now we, O Lord, we stand at the entrance. And when it begins also in this, our own area, O Lord, we beseech thee. And what dost thou now require of us? And wilt thou have a sacrifice? And wilt thou have a burnt offering? And thy servant was to bring a sacrifice. He was to bring burnt offerings. But Lord, is that burnt offering not offered already? Oh, we beseech thee. And wilt thou then look upon that offering? And wilt thou look upon thy own dear son, who has gone through the fire, who has endured the fire, and who has made satisfaction for sin? O Lord, could it please thee to look upon us as a people? Oh, that we may plead in and only through his name, For here only is mercy, and here only is grace, and thou canst not do it for our sake, but thou art able to do it for his sake. Oh, that the nations of the world may know, and that we as a people do cry out unto the living God, and that the nations of the world may know that this is a people whose God is the Lord, and that the Lord, he watches over that people. O Lord, could it please thee, then that we would not live as the world liveth, that we would turn from our worldliness, from our vanity, and from our carnality, and that these callings may bring us to that place at thy footstool. Oh, could it please thee to bring us into that secret place under the shadow of the Most High? Oh, that we could not bear our own iniquity and our own sin anymore, and that we may have a desire to forsake the cause, that also the consequences, they may cease from us. O Lord, do it for thy name's sake. Glorify thy great and thy holy name in our hearts, in our midst, in our community, in the world in which we dwell, that thou may remember all the afflicted and the sick ones, all the multitudes, the thousands and thousands that are ill and that are suffering. Oh, many do not know thee. Oh, that thou would bring thy word also to the ends of this world, and that thou would show unto them thy salvation, and wilt thou heal those that are afflicted, and wilt thou remember all those that mourn, for there are also so many of them who are cast into sorrow in these days. O Lord, strengthen them and uphold them in thy mercy, and look upon us as nations of this world. O that thou may remember thy own covenant with thy own people whom thou hast taught to pray. Oh, that thou may give them a place at thy footstool for the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And they must say, I am no righteous man. O Lord, wilt thou make me a righteous man? Make me a holy man. Make me an upright man. Make me a true man. Make me a man who fears thy name. Oh, that thou may thyself look on all those in our own denomination, and both far and near, and do watch over and protect them also in the Netherlands, that thou may heal those that are afflicted and sick, and those who are very seriously ill in a special way. That thou may look upon all those that care for the sick. For thou knowest all in this world how that there is a scrambling in order to care for them. O Lord, that thou may supply in all thy mercy, and could it please thee that thou may command the angel of death, to put his sword into his sheath, that thou may say, O Lord, it is enough. And that thou may spare us for thy name's sake. Do look upon us in the need of our souls. Oh, that the callings may be sanctified, and that they may be blessed to our hearts. Oh, that we might learn to see what sin is, and to feel the evil thereof, to return to thee, and that we might learn to cry for mercy, to cry for grace, which all comes out of that blessed sacrifice of thy most dear and beloved Son. Lord, be with all the congregation, and when we are gathered together round thy word in this hour, in our own places, in our own homes,
Wilt thou give that all the technology which we may acknowledge thee for in these days that is so often used for an evil purpose in this world, but now which we also do use for the purpose that all may yet listen. Oh, could it please thee to give help also in these ways, that there may be clarity also in the homes and the possibility to hear thy word, and that thou may grant us also what is necessary to bring that word for a few moments in this afternoon hour. Lord, in all these circumstances, could it please thee to take away that which does hinder? And wilt thou give to us a measure of thy Holy Spirit, a little entrance into the mysteries of thy truth? Oh, that there may be profit for our souls upon our short journey between the cradle and the grave. In this thy blessed and holy Sabbath day, we ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us now sing from Psalter 240, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance. In thy mercy answer me. 1, 2, and 5 of Psalter 240. beloved congregation, life that is our most dear possession. Satan himself has said, skin for skin, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. We feel that especially in these times. The whole economy of the world that comes to a halt, we cease it in order that we may protect our own life. Death, therefore, that is our greatest enemy. Death that is very greatly feared. Why? Death is mighty. Death that is very powerful. Solomon, he did say that there is no discharge in that war. When a man, he is struggling against death. Life that is a gift of God. The Lord, he gives it. The Lord, he also preserves it. And the Lord, he also takes it away. Thus, with this most precious gift lying in the balance, day by day, how is it now possible that we have our backs turned unto the Lord? How is it possible that our thought is so little of Him? How is it possible that we can leave Him so easily in His place, and that with all the form of our religion? Or how that we deserve to be cut off? How that we deserve to be spewed out of the mouth of the Lord? If it were not for His own dear Son, if it was not for His own self-denying sacrifice, indeed all of our hope, that would be lost. Therefore, we wish to consider with you in this afternoon the words of our text, which you can find in the aforementioned scripture, Luke 22, the 44th verse. Luke 22, verse 44. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So far the words of our text. The agony of Christ in Gethsemane. First, the cause of this agony. Second, the intensity of this agony. And third, the consequences of this agony. The agony of Christ in Gethsemane. First, the cause. Second, the intensity. And third, the consequences of this agony. It is night. Most men are sleeping. The devil, he does not sleep. Neither do the angels sleep. The spirits, they do not need to sleep. They are always watching. They are always working. Who else is not sleeping? We read here that the Lord Jesus, he is not sleeping. His divine nature needs no sleep. His divine nature never sleeps. With his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is never sleeping. But his human nature needed sleep. And yet he has foregone sleep. He has deprived himself of sleep. Why? that was for his church. Therefore, Paul says, there remaineth a rest unto the people of God. That is now in the first place the cause of the agony of Christ. That is to purchase a rest for a church who did not deserve rest, but who does deserve an eternal agony. Do we ever feel this? It is night. The Lord Jesus, he is with his disciples. We read here in the Garden of Gethsemane, that is after that he has celebrated the Passover for the last time, after that he has instituted the Lord's Supper. Gethsemane, that is a familiar place. We read that he has often resorted to Gethsemane with his disciples. Also Judas, he was often among them. One more hour, and the Lord Jesus will be apprehended. The Lord Jesus knows this. You say, children, what should the Lord Jesus do? Because what are we doing? We feel something that is coming. It has been over the entire world. It is now entering into our territory. And what are we doing? Well, we are fleeing. We are fleeing each one to our own place. Then we say to the Lord Jesus, flee. Flee away, because you know what is coming. And yet the Lord Jesus, he does not flee. No. The Lord Jesus goes toward it. He goes forward to meet Judas as a lamb to the slaughter. He says, I lay down my life. No man taketh it from me. No, he says, I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. For this he was willing. Indeed, he was willing already from eternity. From this he did not turn back. Also in the time by Isaiah, then he has said, the Lord God, he has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. Here the Lord Jesus warns his disciples. It is an hour that is coming. It is an hour which he has warned them of for some time already. And that the Son of Man, he must be delivered into the hands of sinners. And that he must be slain. He said to his disciples that he is going away from them. But he would see them again. Oh, that time was coming, of which he had warned them and said unto them, that the hour is coming, and when they all shall flee, when they all shall be scattered away from him. Oh, it is the hour of temptation. And that hour of temptation is now quickly approaching. What do those disciples do? Those disciples, they do not leave him. No, the disciples, they love the Lord Jesus. They are ready to defend the Lord Jesus. And yet, they do not know the weakness of their flesh. They do not realize the strength of the temptation that is coming, and how that they will need to be upheld in that temptation. But the Lord Jesus knows what is coming. How does he know that, children? You say he knows that because he is God. That is right. He knows it because he is the Son of God. He knows it by virtue of his divine nature. And so his suffering that has already begun. How is it with you? Have you begun to suffer? And how many of us in these days is there not fear? Is there not fear living in our hearts? Fear lest something come. We do not know. But that suffering, that anxiety, that fear that is already beginning to live within our hearts. When we look about us in the countries of this world, and when we see what they do suffer, and when we hear of the cases that are coming also in our own land, then suffering, that inward suffering that already begins. So it is with Christ. He knows what is coming. He knows it beforehand. And that hour that is quickly coming, and there is much apprehension of the approaching death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, we have another cause, a different kind of cause of the agony of Christ in Gethsemane. What is that cause? That is foreknowledge. But he is not only divine. No, the Lord Jesus, he is also human. His divine nature cannot suffer. His divine nature has contributed to his suffering because of foreknowledge. But his suffering has taken place in his human nature. Here it is not yet in his body, but it begins here in his soul. What do we read here? We read, and being in an agony. What is that? An agony. That is anguish. That speaks about severe mental struggles and emotions. Here is a proof of his humanity, in his ability to suffer. Formerly, the Lord Jesus had said to his disciples, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." But that hour, that was at that moment not so close. And that hour, that now is approaching closer and closer for the Lord Jesus. It's that hour also approaching closer and closer unto us. For the Lord Jesus, it was even now at hand. It is now the very hour wherein that he will be apprehended. What does he say? He says, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." What does that mean? That means that the very sorrow which he did experience in his soul, that was sufficient in itself to cause a man to die, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. That is not so far. Yet why does he do this? The Lord Jesus will be alone. Why will he be alone? The disciples, they cannot help him now. The Lord Jesus does bear something upon his shoulders. The Lord Jesus bears the entire church of God upon his shoulders. The good of that church, the welfare of that church, but especially the sin of that church. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed when he was alone. To whom? To his Father. To whom else shall he go? David, he said, for vain is the help of man. Ah, do we ever feel that? Do we ever do the same? To go alone? Do you have that, young people? A place where you can be alone? Where you may pray unto the Lord? Do you ever feel something of the vanity of the help of man? Your mother, your father, they cannot help you. All that is experienced now in the circumstances of our day. And when the doctors, they do not know how to help. When there are no medicines, oh, then it is experienced how weak and frail and ignorant is man. How much more will it be experienced upon our deathbed? Oh, the vanity of the help of man. Oh, when we lie there upon our deathbed, will it be then that we have learned in our life to pray? And being in an agony, how many in this day are in an agony? Why? Because of the fear of death. Oh, how many, multitudes and multitudes, lying sick and dying. Soon death will climb into their windows, their body and their soul. Those two most intimate friends, they will be rent asunder. And this life that will come to its end. But that is not the greatest cause of the agony of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is something that supersedes this. There is something that is so much higher than that agony. It is superseded by an awful apprehension of the judgment of God. It is sin. It is the sin of the church. In all of its loathsomeness, in all of its corruption, in all of its curse, in all of the wrath of God that is coming against it, this does weigh down the holy soul of the Lord Jesus. Ah, he is ready to be sacrificed on account of it. He is ready to be laid as a spotless lamb on the altar of the burnt offering. He is ready to be slain. He is ready to give his life. He is ready to go into the midst of the judgment of God. He is ready to go into the very fire of God as the object of the displeasure of the Lord that brings him into an agony, and being in agony, oh, the meek and the righteous soul of Christ is severely affected. It is severely afflicted by it. We see that in our second thought further, the intensity of this agony and being in an agony that speaks about a struggle. That speaks about a conflict. And that conflict that is evident in his supplications, that is where it comes out. That is where it is made manifest. Or is there a conflict? Is there a struggle that is manifest in our supplications? when we are upon our knees? Or is our prayer always form? Is our prayer always custom? Is our prayer always cold? And being in an agony and prayed, saying, Father, if thou wilt be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. An agony, a conflict. What is that conflict between? Here it sounds as if the conflict that is between the will of the Father and the will of the Lord Jesus. Is that so? Is that so that the Lord Jesus' will that is different than the will of his Father? That the Lord Jesus, he does not actually will to go forward with this suffering, but that is something that was imposed upon him by his Father, and that now when it is coming closer, and that he is pulling back from going forward? No, that is not true. Actually, it is the very opposite. And here we have the very proof that it is the opposite. Here we have the very proof that the will of Christ, and that is one with the will of his Father. There is something that is inseparably connected to our human nature. There is something that we cannot separate from our human nature. And what is that? That is man's desire for self-preservation. That is not something that we have given to ourselves. That is something that we have been created with. That is something that God, he has himself planted in our very nature. He has done that for the preservation of the human race. That at every trouble, that man would not be seeking to lay down his life in this world, but that through all the misery that is in this world, that man, he is still seeking to preserve his life and to go on in this world. And that thus, that desire for self-preservation, that is one of the strongest inclinations that is in our very being. It is not something that we need to activate with our rational mind. It is not something that we need to think about and to say, well, now I must desire to continue in this world. No, it is a natural impulse. It is actually that which is not able to be taken out of our nature. It is connected to it. It belongs to it. Thus, this conflict that is taking place and being in an agony, that is a conflict that is between the very essential characteristics that are lying in our nature, the human nature here that is called, Christ calls it, my will, and the divine will, which is, of course, his own will. And so we have this struggle from that which is living in the Lord Jesus by virtue of being a human being and struggling against suffering and struggling against death. We can also be sure that there is another one here. We read that the Lord Jesus, in the beginning of his ministry, that he was tempted by the devil. And we read afterwards that the devil left him. But it does not only say that he left him. It says that he left him for a season. And now you may be sure, because that is also the way that it is, people of the Lord. in the life of his church, or in those times where they are in the greatest tribulation, that Satan, he is also there. And so Satan, he is also coming here against him in all his frightening and hellish powers. Thus you have a severe conflict and being in an agony. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. That is unfathomable. An angel, a created being, strengthening the very Creator. Oh, behold the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. See him in the severity of the sufferings of his soul, for which the Father himself sends an ambassador, that he may strengthen him in that human nature for the work that lay upon him, that was promised by his Father. And so we read here something of the faithfulness of the Father toward his own Son. And it is also necessary. Why? Because these sufferings will not be alleviated. You say they will not be alleviated. When the Son of God, that he does cry out in his agony. No, they will not be alleviated. They cannot be alleviated. Because what the Lord Jesus is suffering here, that is to satisfy the justice of God, which must be satisfied. Thus, there cannot be a decrease, but there will only be an increase. What do we read? And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. How can we fathom that? Can there be less earnestness in the Son of God? Oh, it speaks of an increase. We know from the other epistles, gospels, that the Lord Jesus, he went away and he came back again. Thus, the Lord Jesus, when he comes back once again, then there is an increase in that agony when he is coming closer and closer. So we read here, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Say, what does that mean? Was that really blood? Or was it blood? Was it sweat as great drops of blood? We cannot be sure. It is not essential. Here is now evidence. It is evidence of what? It is evidence of the severity. The severity, the intensity of the soul suffering of Christ. Sweat. Sweat that is a consequence of our sin. And thou shalt labor in the sweat of thy face. And here now the Savior, he does sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. What is it from? There is consternation. There is a great fear. There is a great apprehension for what is coming upon him, that is according to that nature which the Lord Jesus, he has taken upon himself. And though that he suffer agony in his soul, then at the same time, then he does say unto his Father, not my will, oh, not that which is according to my nature in which that thou hast begotten me. No,
not to pull away from that which we do will even together, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, it can only be by a voluntary sacrifice, and that the Lord Jesus, he is appeasing the anger of his Father and taking away from that church that punishment and condemnation that is due unto them. And so this agony that has very great consequences. But we hope to consider that in our last thought after we sing Psalter 272, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry have ready access unto thee. When in distress to thee I fly, O, hide not thou thy face from me. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 272. Death is a fearful matter. We feel that. We feel that especially in these times. There are times of uncertainty that is not just for the old boys and girls, young people,
because it is not only the old that do die, but it is young and old. Why do men fear death? We fear death because it is so unnatural. Thus that fear that is living in our heart, that when we think even about death, that is proof of something. What is that proof of? That is proof that we were not created to die. That death is not natural, even as many would make us to believe in our days. No, death is a consequence. Death is a consequence of sin. Death is a punishment. Therefore, we fear it so much. It is proof of our spiritual death that we fear natural death, the consequence of sin, but we are so insensible of the evil of sin that is of the cause of death. Satan, he is ever a blinder of our eyes. Satan, he is ever a hardener of our hearts. Does he also blind our eyes? Does he also harden our hearts in these serious times in which we are living? What do we fear about death? There's a great fear. There is a fear of the separation of our soul and our body, that we must depart out of this world, and that we must enter into another world that is an unknown world. But the Apostle Paul, he said, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Do we ever fear? Do we ever tremble for the judgment? Because that is the trembling of the true church of God. That was that trembling that Bunyan tried to describe within the heart of that true church. I perceive by this book that is in my hand, that I am condemned to die and afterwards to appear in the judgment. And I am not willing to do the first. I am not willing to die. And I am not able to do the second. I am not able to stand in the judgment. Oh, did you ever find it? Did you ever find it in your heart to be just the same as Bunyan describes it? No, not just by sickness, not just by disease, but by that book. By that book that is in your hand. Did that book that is in your hand ever make you to tremble? Congregation, there are about 500 of us. They talk in our days about numbers. They talk in our days about statistics. Oh, if there was just one quarter of us who came down with this disease, and if it was only a 2 or 3% fatality rate, what does that mean? That means there would be 2 or 3 of us. There would be 2 or 3 of us that will die because of this disease. Is that not frightening? Who will it be? But do you know what that book in your hand? Or do you have that book in your hand? that book in your hand? How often do you have that in your hand? Do you know what that book in your hand says? It says that you have a disease. Not that you might get it. Not that it is coming. But that it is living in your heart. That it is a disease of sin. Do you know what that book in your hand says? It says that we are all condemned to die, not just two, not just three. No, but from this disease, there will not be one of us that are exempted from that punishment. And after death, the judgment, after that sure death, will come that sure judgment. Oh, how? How will we stand in that judgment? Do you fear it? The books shall be opened, the books of God, and the book of our conscience shall be opened, and all the iniquity, which may be much we have hid from one another, shall all be exposed before the Lord. Oh, how that we might learn to tremble, not because of a coronavirus that will come to its end, but that we would learn to tremble because of sin. That we would learn to tremble because of faith. Faith in the words of that book that is in your hand. Sometimes in these weeks, then we hear, then we read, maybe there is coming some help. Maybe there is coming some therapy. Maybe there is coming, well, we can use a certain medicine for this disease. Have you read that? And when you read that, what did that do in your heart? Oh, you see, it gave me a little hope in my heart. Maybe if now that disease comes here, maybe that I hope they can work on it very, very quickly, because then when that disease that comes here, and maybe I have that disease, or my brother, or my sister, or my father, or my grandfather, my grandmother, oh, maybe that medicine that will be available at that time. Oh, our ears, they are open for this right now. The ears of everyone in their fears. The ears especially of those that are sick. Oh, do you understand now how that is in the life of God's people? When the Lord, He has convinced them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. When the Lord Himself has made them to believe and to know the truth of His word, that they have to die. That it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment. Oh, then their ears, they are going open. Oh, then they have been prepared in their heart for a certain word. Ben-Hadad and his servants, they put ropes about their heads They put sackcloth upon their loins, and they went out unto the kings of Israel. Why? Oh, they said, we have heard something. We have heard that the kings of Israel, they are merciful kings. They went out. And when they went out with these ropes about their heads, then we read that those men, they did diligently observe whether any word would come out of the mouth of that king. And we read, they did hastily catch it. Oh, they were listening, children. Listening. Because they were men who were condemned. And they were looking, oh, listening so very, very carefully if there would be one word, one merciful word, one kind word coming out of the mouth of that king. Oh, do you understand how it is in the life of God's church? Oh, then the Spirit of the Lord, He is making room for a message. He is making room for a word of kindness, for a word of mercy. He is making room for hope in the midst of despair in the life of His church. The consequences of this agony, what is it? What does the Apostle Paul say of the Lord Jesus Christ? He says, in that He Himself hath suffered, being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. Oh, there is no help as help that comes from one who has gone before in that same suffering. Oh, when you say, children, oh, you have had this suffering before, you have had this sickness before, what is it like? How sick does a man get? What is now the remedy for this disease? Will you tell me what I will experience and so on? Oh, then it is possible that that person, they are speaking to you and they are taking away some of your fears because they have also been in that disease. Oh, then you feel you are not alone in it. Oh, how much more. To understand and to know that the Son of Man Himself, in His human nature, the divine, the only begotten Son of God, that He has had the same fears, that He has had the same apprehension, that He has had the same consternation within His heart, and being in an agony. Thus His consolations, they are so knowing. His consolations, they are so tender. To give hope in the midst of the despair of a condemned people. Paul, he says, for as much as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, He Himself also likewise took part of the same. Why? That He may destroy by death Him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Oh, how many distressing fears. How much anguish has not lain in the heart of the true church of God. The fears of dying. Why? Faith. Faith. That is faith in the word of that book that book that is in their hand, but it is now that same book by which those fears, they are born in the heart of that people. It is that same book by which those fears are taken away. Because in that same book, that Lamb of God, who has so willingly, amidst all the agony of his soul, said unto his Father, "Not my will, but thine be done." Oh, did your condemned soul ever hastily catch at the words of the King of Kings? Oh, did they ever hear the slightest portion of his word that did make you tremble? Did you ever hear the slightest portion of that word that may give you hope in the midst of that disease which is causing your death? Because that same faith by which we may receive our misery and our condemnation, we may also receive the truth of the vicarious substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ to give hope for those who fear, who tremble before the judgment seat of God. Does that mean we do not have to die anymore? Oh no, does not mean that. But it is a strengthening. It is a great strengthening. A preparation. What do we read of the Lord Jesus Christ? That he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. That is Christ. What a humiliation. But what do we read? We read, and he was heard in that he feared. He was heard. Was he spared? No, he was not spared. Now what do we read Paul say? He said that God spared not his own son. He spared him not. He let him cry. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. But he did strengthen him. He strengthened him that he may be able to bear it, that he may be able to go through it for his church. That church will also have to die. They will have to die with the entire world. You say, what about their crying? What about their tears? Oh, indeed, they are also heard. They are heard in all of their fears. Because the Lord, he is taking away the punishment. You say they still have to die. True. But the Lord, he is taking away the punishment that is in that death. Thus, it is no longer a curse for them. It is no longer a punishment for them, but it is for them a deliverance, or it is for them a translation that is out of this valley of tears, out of all the suffering, the trial, the tribulations that are in this world. It is a deliverance from a body of death. And when this corruption they may put on incorruption, and this mortality they may put on immortality, so that there is no sickness anymore, so that there is no death anymore, so that there is no fear anymore, so that the church, they may rest, a rest that is bought
by the agony of the Lord Jesus Christ for that church in that garden of Gethsemane, O congregation, then there are times when that fearing church, then they do not fear anymore. Then they fear nothing because the Lord, he gives a little bit of faith in exercise. It is true. Mostly it is different. They have no light. They have no power. Their fears, they multiply. About the beginning of that work. Was it a right work? Was it my own work? The fears, they multiply about the end of that work. And because even what the Lord has begun, they are not able to finish. And a little virus, and a little disease, and then, they are going in their secret place. They say, "Oh Lord, how is it with my soul? No, I do not dare to die. I do not dare to stand before thee in the judgment." And then, there are some times. Then the Lord, he is coming over. Then there are some times that they are, as it were, such a surprise unto themselves. And that can be in the most distressing circumstances, when this whole world is fleeing from fear, for thinking and looking for the things that are coming in the earth. And then that church of God, with a little light, with a little love, with a little power, with a little opening from the Spirit of the Lord, and the Lord drawing them near unto himself, so that the world that is losing all of its beauty, it is losing all of its attraction, a little faith and exercise that they may see, that they may see that worm, that worm. He is crawling there. He is crawling there in his agony in that garden of Gethsemane. Fearing in consternation and all apprehension. Even in that last moment saying, Father, if it be thy will that this cup may pass from me. That human nature, coming out in all of its existence. And yet, not my will, but thine be done. And then to see a little what grace is. What free and sovereign grace is. So suitable. So precious to their own poor soul. And then for a moment they may say, Lord, I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And then when the Lord, he says, behold, I come quickly, then they may say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us try to pray. Lord of heaven and of earth, could it please thee to bless thy word? Give to us to believe that little book. The words that are written therein are the words of thee. And we can see by all the things that are happening in this world that thy word is truth. And that there is nothing that is sure and lasting here. That we may be given to see that treasure which is above. Where Christ sitteth at the right hand of power, and that our hearts may go out to thee, who art so very good unto us and unto our children. Lord, we beseech thee, that in this coming week, when the cases, they are likely to begin to multiply more and more around us, that we may be given truly to take our places in thy under the shadow of thy wings, wilt thou give each one of us to do our part, but that we may truly look to be hidden in that rock
and that thou might thyself hide us under in the shadow of thy hand. Do look on us and keep us all in safety, in health, and in strength, but also from all danger and accident. Help each one in the labors of their hands, and do forgive and take away our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 22, all the stanzas. How long wilt thou forget me? O Lord, thou God of grace, how long shall fears beset me? And while darkness hides thy face, all the stanzas of Psalter 22. receive now the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.